San Francisco, California. This is Mostly Music. And now, your hosts, Ignatius Palafox and the Low Spark.
Thank you for joining us once again.
Shalom.
For another lively, informative, entertaining, comedic, and always stimulating rendition of Mostly Music. I am Ignatius Palafox.
I'm the Low Spark.
And this, if you can believe it, is Mr. Nat King Cole.
Sounds like a little three-fingered assassin Django Reinhardt. That's what that sounds like.
Yes, and then it is not Django. Wait, hold on. Sorry, I just want to see that bass thump.
Yeah. Stand-up bass, right?
Oh, yeah. That double bass all day. But, you know, it's just sort of just something that I didn't really know Nat King Cole had that very jazzy side. And it... Oop. Okay.
What's going on?
It's the Nat King Cole trio from the late 30s to the late 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just super jazzy. You know, this is, I think most of us are used to his more poppy stuff from the 50s and even the early 60s.
A lot of his Christmas stuff.
Christmas stuff too, sure, yeah. And so there was apparently a lot of anger, even, let's say, on the parts of...
The jazz community,
the jazz critics, when he kind of made that transition.
He went pop.
Yeah.
He went... Top
but,
of the Pops.
You know, it was the time, though, because he was like a... They were kind of like a swing band, right? So it's Oscar Moore on guitar, and then on the bass is Wesley Prime. Is that right? I don't know. You got to check
me on
that.
Here's our Google fact checker.
Yeah, yeah. Today we are running solo again.
We're millennial absent.
We're millennial free tonight, so you're going to have to bear with us. But yeah, it's just, you know, it's... I mean, dude, he's killing it. Not unlike the intro last week with Ray Charles being a little jazzier, because we all know
that
we
was
all know.
Intense.
Yeah,
yeah, that.
Yeah, him and Milt going for it, but you know, I mean, it makes sense because Nat King Cole, he's a little older, you know, and so he comes from that. I mean, that's what he's from Chicago, I believe, and he had an older brother who played sax, I want to say, and he was in jazz bands, and he sort of toured around and came back home, sort of brought in Nat.
Turned to Europe, yeah.
I don't know if he went that far. I mean, Nat King Cole did much later, but just his brother. Then they started a, you know, like a little quintet or something, and then they toured around. And but yeah, I mean, Nat King Cole had chops, man. He played keys, so yeah, it's... It's just it's cool. It's a cool part of that history. But then, you know, bebop started to come around in the late 40s, and so he was more swing, and I think he sort of saw the writing on the wall and realized that wasn't for him. Kind of just went straight to pop, and the rest is history. And it worked, you know, it worked out for him.
I mean, I grew up with Nat King Cole. He wasn't one of my favorite artists, but my mother had a collection of CDs. I think she might have had some vinyl, but I grew up with him, listening to him in the house, especially around Christmas time. It's my mom's favorite singer.
Yeah, hands Christmas down. Albums.
You ask her, you know, right? You could call her right now and be like, "Mom, who's your favorite singer?" Nat King Cole.
He's got such that like husky,
yeah,
super clear voice.
Yeah, he's an artist. He's a genuine artist. Large body of work.
Yeah.
Too large for me, I think. I don't think I'd ever really go in depth. I'm glad that you found this.
Yeah.
That's pretty...
Yeah.
I knew nothing about this.
So yeah, exactly. I didn't really know much about this either. It's the Nat King Cole trio.
Him and his brother? Or
No. With Oscar Moore on guitar, and then Wesley Prime, Prince, I think. On bass. And Oscar Moore is one of the most underrated jazz guitarists also. You know, there's so many other ones, but I mean, he shreds and he's super clean, and I don't know, it's very satisfying. It's a very satisfying sound.
You've heard Oscar Moore's other works?
Yeah, well, he so they weren't always a trio. They
It's a jazz supergroup.
Sort of. They Johnny Miller came into the band a little bit later on, and then him and Oscar Moore kind of got together, and I'm pretty sure they had a trio or a quartet after Nat King Cole sort of just went on his own. And but yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he's still famous, obviously, but
this is 30s, 40s.
Doesn't get a lot of
pre-World War II.
Yeah, and then 40s, 50s when he sort of Nat King Cole trio ended. I want to say late 40s, but
it's like that movie Swing Kids. You remember the movie Swing Kids? Yeah. Christian Bale. Yeah, what a hell of a dancer.
Back when he was a newsie also. Yeah.
Swing Heil.
Swing Heil.
That was their that was
Swing,
their
Heil. Swing Heil.
It's where they fought against the fucking Nazis as German kids with swing music, and they would dance around Django and Nat King Cole and like a bunch of other artists.
Oh man, that's good. You know,
it's funny. And it was a big anti propaganda thing going around about or there's a big anti kind of American jazz scene propaganda going around Germany at the time, trying to get those kids to stop fucking dance and swing to the to our black culture music. It's pretty interesting. It's really interesting.
They knew something.
Yeah,
they were onto something. They were onto something, of course. You know, I, yeah, it's, well, I don't know, I, it's there's a few artists like that. Like, obviously, Bob Dylan, you think of when he sort of made that transition from folk to rock and roll and just pissed off a huge swath of the world and his fans, right? But then it also created a whole bunch of new fans, so.
Well, what was I going to talk about? Oh, the show that I went to recently with...
was that Brenton Miller? Or?
Brenton Wood.
Brenton Wood?
Brenton
Sorry.
Wood.
Sorry.
Fucking... So, Brenton Wood played... a lot of like oldies music and
like Motown or
semi Motown.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty intense stuff. I didn't know he was alive. When I saw that he was playing Slims, I was like, holy shit. And I started reading more into him because I knew the music, I just didn't know anything about him. He's 75 years old.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I gotta get tickets for this show, because if I don't, he's gonna be dead. I didn't want to do one of those fucking.
Yeah, I'll catch him next time. And then
yeah,
he,
and then he, like, yeah,
and he perishes.
We, yeah. I think you've experienced that yourself. So we go to Slim's,
yeah.
And outside of Slim's, there's like a big Latino, like SoCal, Central Valley, Northern California, Bay Area culture, like Latino people between the ages of 30 to 50, lowrider music kind of shit.
All ages of that show.
Yeah.
Lowrider.
Yeah, a lot of lowrider enthusiasts listen to his music. It's the stuff that you know, slow and low.
Okay.
Going down the boulevard. This guy had so many fucking hits. So many hits. I'm going to play for you. One of my favorite Brenton Wood songs. This is my favorite Brenton Wood song. It's
in the name of the track.
It's called Me and You.
Okay.
It's a. Oh, it's beautiful. It's a talk singing. Me and you. Let's get away from it all. Me and you.
You know, we've been together a long time, and you know what? We can get a little old lightweight thing going if we really put our hearts to it. If you try and I try, girl, there's no telling how far we can go. Remember those loving fools, Romeo and Juliet? They thought they had a thing going, but they just didn't know. They couldn't visualize. They had no idea how it could really be, but we know, don't we, darling?
Yes. Now you know what I'm talking about.
Let's get away.
If I wanted to, I could hit that note. Pretty sure I could hit that note.
Did Did you just say if you wanted to?
Oh, if I wanted, I mean,
you could hit that note.
I'm pretty sure I could hit that note.
You shouldn't be here with me then. You should be out there killing it.
Just gotta pinch my balls.
Castrato. I think he still retains his testicles.
Oh yeah. Oh no. This guy's a big swinging dick. So
is he wearing like a zoot suit, or is he wearing like a crushed velvet suit, like three piece? Like what's?
No, he's wearing a banana yellow zoot suit, a red 3/4 tie, fedora,
nice
flower.
And
I mean, he's slick.
Does he have backup
shit.
Singers?
Oh yeah, he's got a full band.
Are they all in sync doing like their little doo-wop dance in the back or choreographed?
No. There's no women on stage for him.
No men?
Let me tell you, the show opens up amazing. We come in. You know, everyone's fucking getting the Hennessy's and Cokes. It's the culture. I know, I have like five of them. And so on comes the stage, is this full fucking, like, wind instrument, percussions, a couple of guitarists, three female backup singers.
Wow.
And they're starting tuning their shit, getting ready. And then this big fat dude wearing this big fat white bearded dude. Dude's got a big gut, giant beard, a bottle of El Jimador tequila. And he starts swigging and he gets up to the mic and he's like, "This is all I can afford." He's talking about how broke he is. And I'm like, "What the fuck is this?" So I'm thinking he's going to sing something that compliments Brenton Wood. And all of a sudden, he starts belting out Otis Redding. And this motherfucker can hit the notes. I'm like, holy shit, he's singing. Like, every other track is a cover of Otis Redding.
Is this the opening act?
Yes, the opening act. I forget the name of their the band, but I think it's a local band. They're doing really good. It's fucking great. This guy's got a lot of soul, the big booming voice, you know, of course, because he's a giant guy. The female backup singers, they're okay. They kind of ruined the show for me because they're not as good as him. You know, he's like the star of the show. They play for about an hour covering Otis Redding and some other like doo-wop stuff and all this other stuff and soul music. And then you see Brenton Wood's bands come on stage, and these like these older dudes that know what they're doing. They're tuning their own instruments. They're fucking setting up their fucking keyboards and their fucking drums and their guitars. And they play like a hype intro when they start playing it. And they're like, "You guys ready for Brenton Wood?"
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's already drunk. We're like, "Yeah!" So he comes off stage in his suit, and he just starts going into the tracks. It's just like from one hit after another.
All the hits.
And most of the people that were there, I could tell half of them knew all the hits. The other half were like, "That's him? He sang this song?" Yeah, he sang a lot of hits.
Yeah.
And he's vibing off the fucking crowd, and the women are fucking holding his hand. You know, he's getting play at 75.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And in short... The show ends amazingly. Like, I'm just blown away. He's so good. I'm just like, I'm so glad I saw him. I come to find out the next day, he cancels the show. His next night.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Apparently, he walks out on the venue because they didn't pay him.
What?
Yeah. So I'm like, fuck. Everyone was Slims. Everyone was so bummed out. They were just like, fuck. I'm pretty sure. I don't know if he's going to tour again, man. But if he does, I'm gonna go see him again because that guy's he's a performer.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was very impressive.
Wow,
very impressive.
Wow. So that was one of those situations where, yeah, it's good that you just did it right away.
Exactly. I was like, get the first night, and make sure you get tickets early because they sold out. Tickets sold out for sure. And they canceled the next show. So I'm so lucky that I went. So lucky.
I've been listening to this band, the Valentinos. I just discovered.
It's like a cholo band.
No, it's kind of like a gospel doo-wop kind of thing. You know, it's
Jersey.
So they were originally the Womack or the Womack brothers.
Bobby Womack.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I know Bobby Womack.
Yeah. So their dad. It's like five brothers, right? And their dad was I think they're from Cleveland, really rough neighborhood. Their dad, before they were even born, had dreams of having like a gospel family, like a choir, basically. And he got five sons, and he did, and he taught them, and they were all, you know, they were all pretty fucking incredible. But, you know, it was sort of around the time when early rock and roll was starting, and they wanted to do more of that because they realized that's where the money's at, and you know, they're young, and so they kind of
do you have a track
alienated
set up?
Their family. Yeah, definitely. And it's actually so this is a song that I've just been listening to like crazy.
Transcends gospel.
Yeah, right, exactly. So yeah. it's gospel at it, you know, that's their roots, but it's more like modern or contemporary, at least for this time, which is like the 50s.
Yeah
but it's good. God, it's so good. And I mean, just that song, I don't know why I can't shake that song. There's so many different renditions of that song. Actually, Nat King Cole does one.
Nat King Cole does a version.
Yeah, and it's a little more like, you know, a little more swingy.
This is the Womack family.
The Womacks, or the Womack brothers, but they changed their name to the Valentinos at some point. I'm not exactly sure. So they met Sam Cooke on the road.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually. It's just, that's dead on it, Sam Cooke.
Yeah, and he sort of took them. He signed them to SAR Records, which was his own label that he created with three other guys. I forget now, but yeah, it's... You know,
we talked about the way Sam Cooke died, right? I think we did talk about it last episode.
Yeah, killed in a motel. Right. And it's interesting because actually Bobby Womack, I believe, was it Bobby? Bobby Womack, right after Sam Cooke died or was murdered, he married his wife, Barbara, his widow.
He married Sam Cooke's widow?
Yeah, and like really soon after. I don't think it was like weeks, but it was like, you know, almost unnaturally soon after, which is kind of weird, but... you know, that's just sort of one of those things, I guess. I don't know. But it's interesting. But that song, man, that song gets me. I don't know why. It's so fucking good.
Put on Bobby Womack. You know what I want to hear.
What do you want to hear?
If You Think You're Lonely Now by Bobby Womack. That's cool. I play that song like once a week.
Well, that's definitely a lot more modern, I thought. Yeah. Go for it. If you got it going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to dedicate this song to all the lovers tonight.
That's right, dude.
And I expect that might be the whole world, because everybody needs something or someone to love.
If you haven't fucked to this, you probably haven't had sex.
When it's cold outside, who are you holding?
Oh, dude, he hits those notes. He gets raspy and guttural, and you're like, fuck.
If y'all don't mind, I'd like to talk about this woman of mine.
Yeah.
She's always complaining about me never being at home. But when I'm down broke, she's telling me about the things that a girlfriend's got and what she ain't got. And she want me to go out and get them for her. But girl, I can't be in two places at one time. If you think you're lonely now, wait until tonight, girl. I'll be born.
Yes, Mr. Womack.
That's good.
Mr.
But you know, I always, when I was younger, when I was like a kid, I remember listening to that song and being like, Is that like, it sounded funny because it's like, well, if you think you're lonely now, girl, just wait until tonight when you're really alone and nobody's around here, you know? So, but I know that's not what it means, but it is, I always thought that was kind of funny, you know?
Yeah. No, he's talking about, you know,
what right, no, he's talking about, he's coming over.
Yeah.
A
man's got to do what a man's got to do. You're complaining that you don't know. You don't know what you got till it's gone. It's another song.
Wait, so is that what he's talking about? He's like, you're going to be alone tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, that is.
He's gone. He's ghost.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So he's just rubbing it in.
Yeah, he's like, I got to go and do shows. I got to make music. I got to make money. And you're talking about, my friends got this, they got that, and I don't have it. You're like, all right, well, let me go get some money. Let me go do my thing. Yeah. And you're like, oh, but you're never home. It's like, well, what the fuck do you want, bitch? It's one or the other. So he's like, you think you're lonely now? I ain't never coming back. I'm done.
That's good. Okay, that's actually what I thought it was about, but I haven't really heard that song in a while. That's really good. That's funny.
All right, fade that one out. That's good, man. I mean, so seeing Brent Wood was a total reward for me. I was supposed to go to another show that weekend, but I was a little burnt out from the Brent Wood show, so I didn't make it. It was one of my favorite bands called Pinback.
Oh, yeah. You probably heard of them. That's right. Yeah, of course.
2000s.
Been a while. Yeah. Emo-y.
I mean, they have their own category of music they call math rock.
Like more contemporary math.
Progressive.
Yeah, prog. Yeah, I think of that. I think of like Rush or maybe even Yes. But
I mean, the instrumentation, you can hear it. Like, you have certain tracks where they're so clean and they're even better live. Like, and his voice is amazing. The backup singer's voice is amazing.
Have you seen the drummers before?
I've seen them multiple times.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't go. I should have went because I heard it was an amazing show. It's probably one of the best live bands you can see in a smaller venue. You know, they play Great American Music Hall, Slims. Oh, yeah. They play Bimbo's 365. You got to see them there. You know, anything bigger than the whole, you know, the intention is lost. You don't really get the picture of it.
Needs to be a little more intimate, I guess.
Yeah. Intimate settings, their best setting. I don't know if they've ever played huge venues. I don't think they've ever been that big. But
they were pretty big for a while. But I mean, early 2000s
music nerd big. You know,
yeah,
people
yeah.
do local music scene.
And I guess that's kind of the peak now. There's really no like. There's no band that just appeals to everybody anymore, right? It's all sort of very specific genres, and people only listen to like a certain kind of thing now. It seems like maybe like for new stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, you rarely ever see people step out of their comfort zone when it comes to music. They have their certain categories they do. They do nothing else.
And it's just, but it's also just like there's so many bands now that there's not one band sort of transcending genres anymore, right? Like
there's a few
like
artists.
In the early 2000s, even because that's all before like YouTube and streaming music was legal. I mean, because it was still illegal back then. I mean, it was still free, so right? Like there was even then there were still huge bands, but nowadays, like, what's a huge band right now? Like that's relatively new. That's not, you know, like the Rolling
a new
Stones.
Huge band. There's a lot of them. I mean, it's pop music, really.
But they're not like
it's stuff we wouldn't know about,
right?
Stuff
so
you wouldn't give time of day to. For us, okay. It's not our type of music. But at the same time, I'm going to go with John Peel's point of view and say that it's not the music's fault. It's my fault. What's wrong with me that I can't appreciate it?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, it's funny because
you don't think it's more than just the flood of the market in the sense that,
I mean, what do adults from the 40s and 50s think about the Beatles? It's the same fucking thing, little poppy, you know, kitschy kind of kid shit.
Yeah,
and then
bubblegum rock.
Yeah, exactly.
Although they hated all rock and roll, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But I'm saying, you know, every generation has their opinion about the next generation's taste in music.
No, that's true, and that's not, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm like shut, like, you know, shut off from the world. I try to
it's hard
to what's new, but I mean there's doesn't seem to be, because there's just so many now, right? Like there's huge country bands, there's huge like alt rock bands.
Sturgill Simpson,
right? Yeah,
Sturgill Simpson's transcended all
that's true
all
he
charts
is, yeah.
I mean
is, yeah yeah he is sort
shit,
of
I mean, we should play Turtles All the Way Down for Sturgill Simpson, because that track, I mean, he talks about doing dimethyltryptamine. He talks about fucking, you know, just being strung out, and, you know, and then meta fucking physical shit where he talks about the concept of turtles all the way down, meaning infinite right. upon infinite universes. You know, dude.
The Buddhist principle.
The Buddhist principle yeah. of reality.
All, yeah, a turtle on a lizard on top of a elephant or some shit. I don't fucking know. Whatever.
I'm gonna key that in. This is probably one of the best tracks I've heard in a long time.
I've seen Jesus play with flames in a lake of fire. I was standing in. Met the devil in Seattle. Spent 9 months inside the lion's den. Met Buddha yet another time. He showed me a glowing light within. But I swear that God was there every time I go to the eyes of my best friend. Says my son, it's all been done. Someday gonna wake up old and gray.
This country. People say they don't like country. If you don't like this, you're a buffoon. Some buffoonery going on.
He does have a great voice. It's like...
Perfect.
He's kind of has like a Waylon Jennings thing going
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
He's like a younger, less experienced Waylon Jennings. You know.
Let's just key it back in where he talks about the drugs that he's doing, like where he's getting this.
We're reptile aliens made of light. Cut you open, pull out all your pain.
Yeah.
Tell me how you make illegal something that. I'll make an outbreak. Some say you might go crazy. Then again, it might make you go insane.
That's good. That's a good line.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
here,
that.
Hold on, hold
I like
on.
That.
Every time I take a look inside that old fable book, blinded up, pain caused by some old man in the sky. Marijuana, LSD, psilocybin, DMT, the options, the way I see. Love's the only thing that ever saved my life.
You can pick up.
Don't waste your mind on nursery rhymes.
It is good. I haven't heard a good country voice like that in a while. And yeah. actually trying to... play country, not trying to just play this like what like bro country, whatever they call it nowadays. You know,
yeah.
it's like just yeah. like you know, it just beer money. And
he was number one on iTunes.
Pussy money and shit. You know?
He's yeah. country, number one on iTunes, and this content that he talks about is just fucking. You know, it can relate to anybody our age.
It is some of the best newer country I've
existential
heard in a while.
Fucking concepts.
Yeah,
it's just.
Well, anytime you put a pedal steel in your band, you know you're gonna be okay. I think that's dude,
I think
that,
we went over that.
Oh
one.
Oh my god, that's I just went to Terrapin Crossroads last week. You know Phil Lesh's bar and venue in San Rafael. I'd never been, and I've been trying to go forever. You know, but it's so awesome. Have you been
to where
Terrapin Crossroads?
What's that?
Phil Lesh's new bar, or it's not new anymore. It's been there for a few.
Where
years.
Where is it?
San Rafael.
I don't go to San
Welcome
Rafael.
Welcome back to the show. Yeah, you don't go to San Rafael. We should. Anyway, there's... Some,
oh, no, you told me about
yeah,
this
so
place.
There,
he shows up.
There's
he plays
a well,
set.
He used to, yeah, but, you know, he had liver cancer. I don't know. He had a bad cancer for last year.
My
I
mind's still lost in Sturgill Simpson.
He's
right
kind
now.
Of recovering, but, dude, it's great. So there's, like, a separate venue where they do full shows and small admission, and then there's just the bar and restaurant, and then they also have a band in there.
We should go.
I was just
field
yeah,
trip?
No, it's we'll great. I was trip. Just in there last week, and they had just a 5-piece band, but they had a pedal steel player, and it was just, and of course, it just sounded incredible because Phil's all about the sound. You know, he's always searching for that sound, and so even just like in the bar when it's kind of noisy and loud, like even that system sounded incredible. And dude, just seeing the pedal steel, I haven't seen a pedal steel live since man, since I was in Louisiana like 2 years ago, and it's like this old dude playing it. That's the thing, man. There's nothing like it.
Last pedal steel I saw was with Ray LaMontagne's band.
He had a pedal steel?
Yeah, I told you about that. It was like, fuck. I mean, you have fucking Ray LaMontagne's fucking beautiful voice, and you have this pedal steel making sounds that come from fucking turtles all the way down. You know what I mean? Infinite universe. It's crazy. It's nothing beats live music. Nothing. That's the thing. So I think I found the shortcut to John Peel's perception. You take ecstasy, you come down, and for 2 weeks, everything on the radio sounds really good. Yeah, no, it's great. It gives you a different perspective. It makes you more positive.
Taking a large dose of mushrooms has a similar effect the next day, but it's not as fun when you're on them. But
heroic dose.
It's more, you gain more. Yeah, it's a heroic dose.
Do you want to, do you know Pinback at all?
You're familiar. Yeah, but know? I don't think I want to put Pinback on right now.
No?
We're going on a nice, good country roll right here. If anything, we'll put on some Waylon Jennings or maybe even some, it was weird. I didn't know the history of the pedal steel.
Okay. You
know, I assumed it had something to do with maybe like slack key guitar, like Hawaiian music, which is the first time somebody sort of put like, you know, the backside of a knife on a guitar string, and you know, sort of just the slide, like no actual fretting,
or that
just
tube, the finger tubes.
Well, yeah, well that came way later. So and it's true. It did. I did a little research because it was weird that I didn't. I felt like an asshole for not knowing. And yeah, it sort of does come from that playing just in open tunings, and then from like just older Polynesian Hawaiian music. But then
interesting,
it was one of the first, and then they started just to lay it down flat and just basically nail strings to a board, you know, and then tighten them to tune. And then they started to plug it in electrically. And it was one of the first, if not the first, popular electric guitar. It sort of, there were electric guitars, but, you know, they were still kind of new. And so the pedal steel, or back then, it was more just like a lap steel that you sort of plugged in without the pedals. And then throughout the years, you know, innovators started adding pedals, because the pedals, there's foot pedals, there's knee switches also, you know. And
yeah,
so
yeah.
It's crazy. You're basically raising or decreasing the key by like an eighth or a quarter, which is
all the difference.
Very important, yeah. And a lot of them now have 10 strings, or they'll have two sets of 10 strings, so like 20, you know, which is pretty great.
I've seen those 12-string guitars, the acoustic ones. Those are intense. Well,
yeah, 12-string guitar is basically a 6-string guitar, which is you just double up each string. So they're all the same note, but it's just like a much brighter noise.
You know? Okay, yeah, yeah. I don't know
if it's a brighter sound. Yeah.
Do you have a sample of that, or do you know anybody that plays 12-string?
Well, David Crosby always plays a 12-string, okay. You know? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. It sounds, you tune it the same. You play it the same way. It's just, it gives you like a little more of a richer, brighter sound.
Fuller, it's almost like double tracking on the fucking acoustic.
But the pedal steels are tuned to open tuning, usually like C9, E9? I don't know, you have to check
that. I have no idea what you're talking
about. And the Dobro also is a precursor to that. It's basically like a resonator acoustic. They put these metal cones inside the body of the acoustic to amplify the sound before they had electric guitar, and then that sort of, and then, you know, there's people that still play the Dobro. Actually, yeah, we could play a little Honky Tonk Angels. You know, it's Shot Jackson and Buddy Emmons. So you can get like a little bit of both.
Yeah,
might as well. Why not?
Polynesian sound, that's kind of weird.
So that's the Dobro. It's a little more clunky, but you know, it opens with that pedal steel, which is that the sort of quintessential country instrument, right? Yeah, yeah. It does sound kind of Hawaiian. Aloha. Yeah, part of me wants to start singing about the ocean, and another part of me just wants to start singing a country ballad right now.
You're drinking out of a boot.
It's such a unique and quintessential country sound, you know. Kind of like, I guess, like a trumpet for jazz, but it's different because pedal steels are, yeah, I mean, they're a very specific sound, right? I mean, I guess you could throw some fuzz on there or some other... Which is like what
be the guy from playing. Roadhouse,
yeah,
and, the blind guy from Roadhouse,
yeah, he's good, yeah, exactly, like blues Brothers style. Yeah.
Was that a real artist? That
was yeah, it was, yeah, yeah. Oh, fuck, I forget his name. Yeah, no, he that guy really plays. Yeah, he's legit. That guy, fuck, what's his name? All right, see, this is why we kind of need a resident millennial here, but. There are, like, what other instruments can sort of define a genre like that? I don't know. What do you think?
Ukulele?
Yeah, yeah, that's true, yeah. So, okay, so exactly, yeah.
Steel
so,
drums?
Yeah, okay. It's for, like, a Caribbean, Jamaican sound. Yeah, okay.
Nylon string Spanish guitar?
Yeah, okay.
Right. I can keep going.
Yeah, there's a lot. An oud?
The fucking, the Peruvian fucking, the flute? That, the one with the pan flute? Yeah.
The tubular bells or whatever?
Yeah.
The Exorcist song? Is that what that is? I don't know. Again, I see this is why we need millennials here, I guess.
Cowbell, Blue Oyster Cult.
A lot of cowbell and a lot of things, though, you know. Cowbells work. I got to know what the name of that kid's... I got to know what that kid's name is.
All right, while you do that, I'm going to play some Bloods on Fire by Pinback.
Pinback? We're going to go there?
It's not good. I'm going to play it now.
Oh, man.
It's a beautiful song. You're cutting short.
Okay, all right. You're not wrong. The slide guitarist's name is Jeff Healy.
Jeff Healy,
yes. Sorry, Jeff. I apologize for that. Because I know you are a diehard fan of this show, and I do apologize. In fact, I'm going to extend an open invitation to have you come onto this show right now.
This is where the song changes. Here we go.
Are they still putting out albums? Is that why they're touring right now?
They haven't put out an album in like, shit, I want to say maybe a good 6 years.
So why are they touring right now?
They're one of those bands. They tour.
They still have fans. They play a pretty loyal fan base. Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, my brother went to the Sunday. I was supposed to go to the Saturday night show. Missed that. I didn't want to go to the Sunday night show because they were going to play one album. They were playing through one of their albums. It's not my favorite album of theirs. And my brother went, was like, fucking, he was like, dude, that was one of the greatest shows I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, fuck! Always miss out. Even though I go to a lot of shows, I always miss out on a lot of shows.
Living that FOMO life.
Well, if you want to continue on with the country sound, especially with new albums.
new country? You know, I'm very ignorant on new country.
Country rock, Ryan Adams. We were just talking
country
about
country rock. His... You would consider that country
he
rock?
He is country rock.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about that.
Look it up.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I don't care what somebody writes.
He calls himself Wikipedia. He has a punk heart with a country rock sound.
Right, because he's more of like a product of the 80s.
And yeah.
Like, you know, he loves Morrissey and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great. I mean, we all do.
Yeah, but, if you don't love Morrissey, I can't even talk to you.
But I wouldn't consider him. I'd consider him more like folk rock over like country rock.
No.
Because he's too rough for folk. His band, like half of his songs are just like him and a guitar. And then the other half are like him and his band and they're rocking out, you know.
Sounds pretty country rock to me, dude.
It's not country, man. There's nothing country about that.
Well, no, okay. Well, I mean, your favorite album of his and my favorite album of his, Heartbreaker.
It's a good album.
Hands down one of the greatest albums in the aughts.
Yeah, and so you listen to any song on that album and there's nothing country about that. I'm not saying...
You're crazy.
It's a good album, but there's nothing country about it.
You're crazy.
Okay, all right, let's
Come Pick Me Up. Just play that song.
That's not...
play the song.
We listened to that already.
I know.
On a different
play
episode.
Play that song. That
no, I'm going to play the opening track.
Play My Winding Wheel.
No, see, you just want me to play just the acoustic songs. I'm talking about the songs with the band.
Yeah, we'll play the opening track.
Okay.
Country. That's not country. You're retarded.
That's not country.
No. Part of my French. You're retarded.
It's rock and roll.
Young boy done me bad, went and did you wrong. Young boy done me bad, I went and did you wrong. And I got high. Lord, I got high. Now I got a bone to pick with you, and I'm sure you know it's true. Oh, one day when you're looking back, you were young. Man, you were sad. When you're young, you get sad. When you're young, you get sad. And you get high. Oh, mate.
Not country rock.
Country? Are you fucking kidding me? You know who's rolling around in his grave right now?
Don't.
Graham Parsons.
First of all, fuck you for that, because that's retarded. I was gonna play.
You're gonna play
some Flying Burrito Brothers, because
you're gonna play live at KRCW's Graham Parsons and the Flying Angels, or the Fallen Angels,
yeah,
with Emmy Lou.
You're right. That's country rock.
Yeah.
And if we're going to go there, then yeah. Okay. Yeah. So here we go. This is some country rock, Flying Burrito Brothers live.
She's in some honky tonk tonight, I know. She's dancing where the music's loud and lights are low. In a crowded bar, she likes to hang around. But as long as there's a honky-tonk, she'll never settle down. So close up the honky-tonks, lock all the doors. Don't let the one I love go there anymore. Close up the honky-tonks, throw away the key. Then maybe the one I love will come back to me.
Rest in peace, motherfucker. 27 Club? 27 Club.
Now that's good shit right there.
So, Graham Parsons. See,
that is country rock.
He is what they call the godfather of country rock.
I'm not going to argue with that. Yeah.
He died, 27, I would think. 27, 28. I think he was in the 27 Club. I want to say asphyxiated on his vomit, like most people in the 27 Club.
He was. He died in Joshua Tree, famously, right at that hotel. But he probably just more or less OD'd.
Well, no, the story about Joshua Tree with Graham Parsons was that he told his friends, "If I die, take my body to the Joshua Tree and burn it.
Well, he was already there.
There's a movie. Well, they were shipping his body out and his friends. There's a movie about it called Grand Theft Parsons.
Oh, with Johnny fucking Knoxville. Johnny Knoxville. Right, but that's not about Graham Parsons. That's about some their friend or something.
No.
Graham Parsons died in Joshua Tree. He died at the Joshua Tree Hotel, I believe.
But
it's still there.
The story is about his friends who steal his body from the airport, drive the hearse out to Joshua Tree, set the coffin on fire, and get arrested. Just because they were trying to like fulfill his will.
That's pretty good. That's a good way to go.
Yeah.
It's a good way to go. I think we already established our death requests on the last episode, or maybe the episode before. I'm not sure, but
So I mean, so Ryan Adams' greatest album, Heartbreaker, for us, and he has a new album that came out early part of the year, beginning of the year, or last month.
Yeah, I think this year. Yeah, 2017. By the way, Graham Parsons was only 26.
26.
That's crazy.
Just like fucking Otis Redding.
That's crazy. Because he had that baby face and then the alcohol sort of blew it up.
Yeah.
Jim Morrison style. But wow.
So Ryan Adams' new album, Prisoner, I mean, it's good. It's really good. But unfortunately, my opinion is the instrumentation conceals the best part of his band, which is his voice. His voice is like the greatest instrument on his albums. I mean, I love listening to him, like the way he goes up and down and the pitch he throws out at you. You fall into his words because of the way he sings it. And the instrumentation is a little too loud. It blends in too well. He's trying to be a little harder, a little, I guess, more relevant in today's era where it has to be loud and booming.
Yeah.
It's good. It's really good, but it's not what we're used to, so I have to give it a few turns.
I think that's what it is, yeah, because I listened to it too, and initially I was a little turned off, but I went back to it today, actually, earlier this morning, and it's better than it was the first, and I guess that's what it is. He hasn't had an album in a few years, and honestly, I haven't really listened to him regularly in a long time, so I don't really, I don't know, I guess I have unfair expectations or something like that, but... I don't know.
Best track on the album, I would say, for me, was Haunted House. Yeah, it's...
All right, we're going to give Ryan Adams two turns on this first half of this episode, and we're going to take a quick break. Let him play us out here. We will be back.
Welcome to you, my haunted house. I live here alone and no one else. It's the last house at the end of the block. My friends all disappear one by one. The cracks in the window and the spiders they crawl across the lattice from 1924. Life is too sweet, yeah, and life is too short. There's nowhere to fall. Yeah, and I don't wanna live in this haunted house anymore. I don't wanna live in this haunted house anymore. There's a painting on the wall. I see its eyes watching. Walk on down the hall. Nobody stops by.
Thank you for joining us once again. Feeling a bit pious, as might be obviously evident by our choice of music this evening, but I can't shake this song, man. This song is so fucking good. Pardon my language, but it's so powerful. You know, this is the Wiley College Choir doing Couldn't Hear Nobody Pray, which we already touched on a bit, so we are being a bit redundant, but this version is...
I don't even know how that makes me feel, the music itself, because it's almost it is gospel.
Oh yeah.
I'm not really a religious person, but it still moves me.
Oh yeah.
You know,
it has to. Yeah.
It is reminiscent of a lot of those films like Glory or, you know, Amistad and shit like that. Or...
Well, I wasn't going for that kind of note, but
that's the
kind of
vibe
but,
it gives
but
me.
But you're right, it's 100%.
Like, it's tragic.
It's true.
It's tragic, you know?
Yeah, it's very spiritual, regardless of faith or denomination in that regard. The numinous, right? The internal spirituality that we're all capable and we all have, whether or not, you know, you want to subscribe to any sort of doctrine is another story, but we all have that ecstatic within us, right? And that's, well, I swear we're not even drinking it, we're just getting waxing on a bit here, but anyway, it goes to what we were talking about earlier, and just this song. So this song has so many different renditions. It's a very old song, obviously, and we were saying even Nat King Cole has a version of this, a little
this
more
is from
swingy.
The Womack family.
No, this isn't
the
Valentinos. No, the song that we heard, yeah, from the Valentinos, yeah, was Couldn't Hear Nobody Pray, and it's the same song. This is obviously much sort of just, you know, and oh man, those minor keys are insane. But anyway, we are back officially.
It's good.
Yeah, it's great. I don't know. I can't stop
like
listening to this song.
American Gregorian chant, right?
I think we Americans sound a lot better, as if I was singing this. I had nothing to do with this, clearly. But were you ever in choir at all?
I was, yeah.
You were? Yeah.
In high school. Well, not high school, middle school.
Yeah, I was too in middle school, actually. Yeah, that's funny.
I had a good voice until my balls dropped.
that might have been true for me, but I've had this voice since like sixth grade. So it's kind of, that was almost weirder. I was actually in a play... Christmas Carol in sixth grade.
Really?
And I was Scrooge, the lead, and you know, I was a little louder, and I had to be angry, and my voice kept cracking. It was so embarrassing. But you know, like literally by seventh grade, it, like what you hear is me. So I'm just like this, like 5 foot, like little kid, fucking around. So in choir, I essentially just mouthed it. I wasn't actually singing. I basically joined choir for the girls, and it was great. It worked.
Like glee? Is glee in your school?
It was work. It worked. No, it was. Yeah, but basically, it's kind of what it was. They just called it choir, you know. But yeah, there were three dudes in the whole class.
And the rest women.
And like 29 chicks, yeah.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's just.
And it worked. I got
a
girlfriend out of it. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah,
it was great. And we went on field trips and everything. It was, and it counted as like a class. So it was ideal. And I still know a lot of Christmas songs to this day because of that.
What else you got queued up there?
Oh, that's so good. Well, you know, I wanted to get into a little more Ethiopian rock.
Ethiopian rock.
Yeah, dude. Haile Mergaja. I always fuck up his name, but Merja. I don't know. Are you familiar?
No.
With the Walias, I believe. And again, I don't know how to pronounce any of these, but it was a band.
Walias?
Walias, yeah. Is that how you say it? I don't know.
Sounds familiar.
So, yeah, it's a five-piece, six-piece. I don't know. There was a bunch of them at the time, but it's just so good. There's nothing else like it, so.
This is rock out of Ethiopia. Cover music or?
All original.
Modern?
80s.
Period?
70s, 80s. And again, people correct me in the pronunciation. Yeah, he played organ and the Moog synthesizer.
Yeah, that's
yeah, and oh man, it's just so good.
It's almost as good as Thailand.
Psychedelic Thai rock.
Psychedelic Thai rock.
Almost as good? No, this is. I'm sorry to all the psychedelic Thai people.
No,
this is. Come on, what are you kidding me? Listen to this.
Next episode, I will. This is good. This is really good. The only difference is Psychedelic Thai has traditional Thai instruments thrown in. So you get yourself a world sound. This is
a world sound. Come on. The Ethiopians playing all every kind of instrument that they possibly can.
Ethiopian instruments?
Well.
No.
They made it their own.
It's good. It's very good. It's like elevator music to purgatory.
So yeah, Haile Mergaja, I don't know. But they were in the Walias in Ethiopia. They were actually the first Ethiopian band to come to America in 1980-81. And they played in New York, D.C., and there was a dictator at the time back then. It was the country was kind of rough. So four of the members, like pretty much the core of that band, stayed in America, and they've stayed ever since. And then two of them went back. And
have they played Stern Grove Festival before? Because maybe might have seen him there.
He's still alive.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I might have seen him there.
Dude, if you had, that's
vaguely consider yourself lucky. I was really high.
Yeah. Well, it's Stern Grove. It's a free show. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be incredible if you
Pretty
had.
Sure. Yeah, so now that's why it's ringing a bell.
So yeah, they also their big hit, or I mean, if you can call it that, but probably their most popular hit is called the Musikawi Silt.
Okay.
Something like that. It's been covered a lot, and that's a little more, maybe a little more popular. But I love this, the opening track. It's just so good. It's like, what is it, man? It's like jazzy. It's like proggy. It's psychedelic.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, you know, it's tribal almost.
Yeah, I mean, you the know. Sound. I mean, definitely
cumbia. Good. You know, there's a lot of like cumbia elements in there too. You know,
I didn't catch the cumbia part, but I'll give it a second listen.
The repetitiveness, you know.
Oh, okay, okay.
And it's the simple structure, but it's very complex.
The melodic loops. And everything.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been listening to this a lot lately. But we'll have all these a full bibliography.
We should do concept episodes. Yeah. I want to do a concept episode of side projects. Your favorite artist and what they're doing on a side
That's
project.
That's interesting. That's interesting. Okay.
well, song or a band that we always talk about, like we talk about them almost every episode, is Modest Mouse. And Isaac Brock and another guy from Black Heart Procession, and a couple of other dudes, Tim Rutili, they came together and made a band called Ugly Casanova, put out an amazing album. Probably
how long ago?
Fuck, this is early 2000s.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. The track of note, I mean, this track, that's the thing I like about Isaac Brock, is he's really good when it comes to producing a song. It's not, like you said before, the beginning, the middle, and the end are three to how many different songs in one. It evolves. Totally evolves. And one of my favorite tracks is, because you can hear all the voices of all the artists in the band layering, it's called Cat Faces. The album is it's just Ugly Casanova, self-titled. I'm going to play this track for you called Cat Faces.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's just very melodic. Oh, Sharpen Your Teeth is the name of the album. Tim Rutili comes in. I'm pretty sure it's his voice. He is the highest note. And then you'll hear it, and it's beautifully pathetic. It's, let the song finish out.
I lay down with southern rage. I lay down with the southern rage. I lay down with the southern rage.
With the southern rage.
I lay down with the southern rage.
With the southern rage.
I lay down with the southern rage.
With the southern rage.
I lay down with the southern rage.
With the southern rage.
I lay down with the southern.
I mean, if you can have an amazing band like Modest Mouse and Black Heart Procession, put those two things, three, four things together, other bands as well, and you can create a fucking amazing side project. I mean, it's like a super group. It's like an indie super group.
Right.
There's been super groups.
It's an indie super group.
Indie super group. It's like, fuck. You're not too familiar with Blackheart Procession. That is an album you should listen to.
So it's like it's like an indie Traveling Wilburys.
Blackheart Procession is literally like, if you're depressed, do not listen to this fucking to this band, because they will fucking he talks about, you know, the answer to this problem is in the tin flask and the coat in the corner of the room kind of shit, you know. It's just I don't know. It's like, if you want to go emo, I mean, you sit down, you listen to what's the name of the album? I think it's One. One's the album. I'll play you a track if you want. It's that good. Yeah, it's One.
And the name of the track?
Release My Heart. Lots of organ.
First started, I thought you were playing Fiona Apple for a second.
Yeah, like, shit.
Whoever.
Impressive organs, man.
I'm pretty sure piano. If I ever met Fiona Apple, I would just fall in love and.
Oh yeah.
Get down on.
Oh, she would eat you. She would probably. She'd probably give you a knife and be like, "Release your own heart."
Yeah, she is. She is amazing. Actually, it's way weird. Like a couple weeks ago, I woke up with the Fiona Apple song stuck in my head. And
which
for,
one?
Like, paper bag. And for like 2 weeks, it was weird, man. I went back and listened to like the first three albums. That's like nonstop. She's so good. It's a weird transition. I'm sorry, but
no, it's perfect. That's exactly a perfect transition.
Oh my god, dude, she was so fucking good.
Yeah.
You know, amazing pianist, but also just those songs, you know.
She's a waif, but she's so powerful, you know.
She's a waif. But yeah, exactly. Very powerful, and you know, sort of just never really gave a shit about what was going on around her and popular.
She was silenced for a while because her recording contract didn't release her music. They're like, yeah, you can record, but you're not releasing it.
Yeah,
fuck
there
you.
Was some story. Yeah, she had like a whole album done.
Yeah,
and then she didn't really like it.
She could play it live, but yeah, she couldn't.
And then
sell
there was a huge clamoring for. forget what the label was, to release it. And then because of that, she sort of went back in and met with like a different producer and created her fourth album, I believe, in 2001, which I'm obviously not prepared, but but I mean, she's so good. She's so fucking good, man. Like, yeah. She's writing all those songs.
Yeah.
And she's got an amazing voice.
She's a perfect woman. That's a perfect human being.
And she's hot, too.
So, oh, God, yeah. It's beyond hot. Yeah. Yeah, she's like those gigantic eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And
she's a praying mantis, dude. You got to be careful with those. They'll ruin you. They'll ruin you forever.
That, she would ruin me, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure with that. You know, she, I didn't realize this because I was just on this weird Fiona Apple kick, but like she went out with Paul Thomas Anderson for a while. And that's how she met, yeah, man. And that's how she met Quentin Tarantino. And I guess her and Tarantino are still like really good friends.
Ew, that's weird. Yeah. I don't know. That just made me kind of sour.
What, dude? Like, those are like two of the best filmmakers of their generation. Like, I mean, yeah. So I just want to meet her and have all these. I have all these delusional fantasies about
you and Fiona Apple.
Yeah,
well, it's not a bad fantasy. I have fantasies, man. Of Seven of Nine from Star Trek Voyager.
Extraordinary Machine. That was the one. That was her album. You have fantasies about Star Wars, Star Trek, right?
Is the Borg woman Seven of Nine? She's so hot.
All right, describe the Borg woman to all,
perfect.
All of us who
wearing
don't.
A silver jumpsuit with like little robot things on her face. She's so hot.
So wait, she's not an alien. She's like a cyborg.
She was a human turned cyborg turned human again.
Really? Is that possible? Can you do that? Is that possible?
Catherine Janeway from Voyager did it for her. Yeah.
This is why we need to do a video podcast so that we can.
This is her, by the way, on my
have
phone.
Pictures.
That's Ooh, Seven of Nine.
Okay, that is very Ex Machina esque.
Yeah,
but exactly. Like 20 years before. Wow, that's awesome. I mean, Well, anyway,
I wouldn't mind outroing to Fiona. That would blow my.
That's not a bad
back.
Idea.
Yeah,
that's not a bad idea. Yeah, well, so she did come out with an album 4 years ago, 2012, or five years ago now.
The unreleased one, the one that wouldn't come out?
No, the one that wouldn't come out is called Extraordinary Machine, and that one did finally come out in 2005. But then, yeah, she didn't have anything until 2012. But, man, she's incredible. Like the titles of some of her albums are like 100-word poems, you know? Mm-hmm. Like. There's so I don't know. Is there anybody else like that right now?
Fiona,
and I'm just saying that as a plea for help for everybody listening. Like, please direct me in the right.
People would
direction.
Say Point Adele, or what's Little, the name yeah. of that? Yeah.
No, she's awesome.
Adele's got an amazing yeah. voice.
It's she's just, a little too weepy for me.
She's
though.
A little too English for me.
Maybe,
can't do
maybe
it.
That's what it is. Yeah, I'm just automatically a little bit turned off by the.
Yeah, her perspective is very like.
She like let's not like she's incredible. She is really good.
She yeah, that woman's got one amazing voice.
I mean, I guess you could even say Lady Gaga, but I feel like in a sense she's just went way more pop direction,
yeah.
right? And it's
yeah.
good, you know, it works.
Lady
she,
Gaga.
She writes her own stuff, right?
Lady
I mean,
Gaga.
It's all yeah.
Yeah, but she's one of those artsy fartsy fucking douchebags.
I guess. I don't
she,
know.
She tries too hard.
Maybe. I mean, I'm sure like she's probably cool
Madonna
in real
did
life.
It first.
Right, and that's maybe the thing. It's like that's why I like Fiona, because she's, you know, I don't know. It's a lot more simpler. It's almost a little jazzier, too. And
it's like Lady Gaga is like Madonna and Bjork got into a boxing match. And that
wow,
was their
that's
fucking...
the ultimate compliment, though, right there. That's
yeah,
good.
But that's because that's by design. Because
for a long time, Madonna was just in a league of her own.
Yeah. But I mean, that's
no,
it's
no pun intended.
Lady Gaga, again, falls in the same category for me as Bruno Mars. It's just contrived.
You don't think there's any
there's
artistic
no,
quality there?
No.
I think there has to be
she,
some.
She stuck to a strong opinion, because I've seen her original look. She has an original look. Mm-hmm. She's garbage. And she's like, oh, wait, let me turn the freak on to 11.
Right.
And then I'll get more attention. And then I become famous and I stay rich. That's...
But you don't think it has anything to do with the quality of the artistry.
No.
The songs. No.
No. She's like a shock jock, you know.
But she writes those songs.
Doesn't
though,
mean anything.
Well, it puts her a little bit above like Britney Spears or, you know.
Yeah, but Lady Gaga's music's the same kind of music as Britney Spears.
She does seem to have a lot of just like radio pop hits, you know.
Yeah,
that's not bad. That makes sense, right?
A lot of my favorite bands are radio pop hits, sure, you know, one hit wonders. Yeah. But at the same time, it's just, well, she sits down, says, what can I do to be different? You don't do that. You just, you be you,
right, you have to
and
be
see
you.
Where it takes you.
Right.
No, that's not what she did. Yeah, she's like a fucking a quilt.
Okay. So yeah. I need some kind of solace here to make me feel a little bit better about the state of modern music. And is there a Fiona Apple like person? And just by definition, just by even asking that question, I'm assuming even if there is, I'm not gonna like him because it's Fiona Apple contrived. But is there somebody? You know what I mean? Like
there is.
I guess Adele. Sure. Okay. But Adele isn't as hot as Fiona Apple was or probably still is.
I think that even if she's Adele's a full-size woman, she's just gorgeous.
Mhm.
Yeah, she's
Does she have fucked up like the whole fucked up grill thing? Like,
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I think she had enough money to have filtered water.
That's true. Yeah. She could have the Invisalign by now, but
the only thing about Adele
this
is
this isn't yeah, no. I don't want to
The only problem with Adele is she's a little too focused on her personal life. She needs to really look with outside
mean?
Of herself.
What do you
I think
mean?
Her next album.
I don't know anything about her personal.
She talks
life
about or... her like past love lives and stuff.
Oh,
like
you mean
that.
Like through I, songs
yeah.
or?
She talks like about specific events.
Yeah, you feel like she needs to like maybe poetically hide it a little bit better, or?
No, I think she just needs to live a little more.
Is she young?
Get out of her own head.
Is she under 30?
Yeah,
I guess she probably is.
She
right?
should be right.
Yeah. I know. We're,
she needs
we're the
to
ones...
hang out with Sturgill Simpson.
Really?
Do some dimethyltryptamine.
Adele?
Yeah, call it a day.
So she's 28 years old.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Respective.
Yeah, so like, Taylor Swift age, I guess, right? Ish.
Well, there's a...
She is good looking. I'm looking at her right
she's
now.
She's pretty,
she
yeah. Is, she's very
she
pretty.
She is hot.
Talented, pretty. Who else is there? Just that one... Oh, by the way, I seen Blackheart Procession at the fucking Independent. That was intense.
When was that?
About 6 years ago.
So what's your favorite album for all the people listening that want to get pointed in the right direction?
For Blackheart Procession?
Yeah.
One.
One.
It's the number one.
Okay.
Yeah. It's that album. I'm going to play for you on the way out. It's... You're fucked. Yeah. No, you're going to be depressed for a month.
What album
in a good way?
What album fucks you up like that? Like besides that, like is there a different album? Like not from them, but just in general, like an album. I think we kind of covered this before, but I don't think so. Like, is there an album that if you put it on, you're just like, I can't.
Shit, listen. Yeah, it's on the tip of my tongue. What is that album? It's probably be like Bone of Drag. Meat is Murder. When I get bummed out, like. If you want to see me like really hit bottom emotionally, I probably like I had a roommate here once and I'm not gonna say what bummed me out, but it was pretty bad. I like had to cut dinner short. We came back here. He was in the living room. I went straight to my room and turned on Meat is Murder for a day straight. Did not come out of my room.
That's good.
That's my go-to like album.
Okay.
I don't know if you want to play a track from Meat is Murder, but that's like for me that's one of the greatest albums ever made.
Yeah, so what? So like just the whole album. I mean,
just the
you
whole
put on
album.
Any Smiths and it's going to be Morrissey's going to take you there either way, right?
Morrissey does more than take you there. He shows you why you're there. we'll play, you know. Let's play this is a good one. This reminds me of my high school art teacher.
Park the car at the side of the road. You should know. Time's tide will smother you. And I will too. When you laugh about people, you feel so very lonely. Their only desire is to die. It doesn't make me smile. I wish I could laugh.
that defines my teenage angst. That's the Low Sparks childhood.
You and quite a few other people.
I'm pretty sure I'm the only one.
Oh, really?
Pretty sure I'm the only one.
But that's the power of Morrissey. Makes you feel like he's singing just to you.
Exactly. So I had a conversation with someone that was talking about music with the bar at the bar. She asked me. She's like, "Well, do you like Morrissey or do you like the Smiths?" So I was like, "Well, you know."
Does it have to be either or?
There's that divide. I love Morrissey. He's an amazing singer. The only issue is, in the Smiths, he was singing to you, for you. And as Morrissey, in his solo career, he was singing about himself and no one else.
That's interesting.
For himself. It's very different. So
that's a very poignant perspective.
It's true. I mean, it's,
I think you're right. No, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I mean, he was kind of rearing the head of his sexuality a little more in
a little more open, a little more personal, maybe. Yeah.
Like in Ouija board, I gotta play Ouija board. I gotta do it. Yeah. That's my brother was a big Morrissey. He liked the Smiths and Morrissey. My brother was crazy. He's crazy music appreciator and musician.
Mm-hmm.
And he would play his 45s sped up and record it on the cassette. And he would listen to the Smiths and Morrissey on fast. Which is really weird.
Why?
Yeah, that's just what, because he's punk. So you wanted to hear Morrissey fast, like so.
That's pretty good.
I'm going to fade that one out. Play Ouija board, because that is got to be. I used to play Ouija board. Oh. Oh shit. Well, it always eludes me.
Ouija.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got it.
Ouija.
But no, like I said, my brother would play Morrissey and the Smiths like fast forward on his records and record it on on tape cassette and listen to it.
Out a bit. Yeah.
And he'd skate to it, you know. My brother was a weird dude. And he had really interesting quirks when it came to his...
This is your older brother.
My oldest brother. Right. He's a drummer.
Right.
He's just a weird guy when it comes to music. So here's Ouija board. And
Ouija board, would you work for me? I have got to say hello to an old friend. Ouija board, Ouija board, would you work for me? I have got to get through to a good friend. Well, she has now gone from this unhappy planet with all the carnivores and structures on it. Ouija board, Ouija board, Ouija board, would you help me? Because I still do feel so horribly lonely.
Yeah.
For me, this
that gets you going every time.
It's like so Bone of Drag for me was coming out of the Closet album,
right?
Which is just amazing. Like, as a kid, I first heard that it must have been maybe 10 11 years old when I really was like, oh fuck.
Like, and you weren't thinking about like sexuality or anything like
that? No, I was. Yeah, I was. I mean, I grew up in the fucking, you know, in San Francisco, where the culture is, you know, you're either part of the community or you're a piece of shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a lot of my friends were gay. A lot of my mom's friends were gay. Like, I remember being 5, 6 years old, and my mom, her best friend, if I remember his name correctly, his name was Raimundo. He was this gay kid was this gay college student. He was an artist. He would paint with his feet.
Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yeah. Well, he painted with his feet.
Yeah.
And for my birthdays, he would dress up like a clown and play the harp.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's my mom's friends. You know, that's what I was exposed to in the city. And then hearing Morrissey, like, I could kind of read into it because I kind of was like, I knew Boy George was gay.
Right.
You know.
But it's still the 80s, and it's still, like, not 100%.
This is the 90s for me now. This is the early 90s when I started realizing that the Smiths was no longer a band, and Morrissey was, now the new thing.
Oh, okay.
I really appreciated it because it helped me realize that I was different. You know what I mean? My brother is different. That's why my brother's crazy, and I'm crazy. And, you know, we ingest music and regurgitate life. You know, not to get too emo.
As it should be.
Yeah. And Morrissey got me through it, dude. Like, because I realized, you know what? There's somebody that's fucking, he sings about that shit.
Yeah. And you can hear it in his voice. He's feeling it. He's definitely feeling it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good, man. Oh, man. I don't know if we went on the wrong hallway on that one.
It's Morrissey. That's never a wrong direction, I guess, right? That's always a good place to be.
I'm just saying, it brought me down just a little bit. Just a little bit. Yeah. But no, it's crazy. I mean, someday you'll meet my brother, but I don't know if you'd want to.
Uh-oh. No, I'd really want to. Yeah. Sounds,
If you're not talking about music, he doesn't even want to look at your face.
That's great.
And he has his opinions. Be like, you're wrong. Let me tell you why you're wrong.
Yeah, well, he needs to be a guest on the show.
He'll probably put a hole through the fucking TV.
Well, for that episode, we'll have a video podcast ready.
Yeah, listening to my favorite singer, and like I said, we always play something on the television next to us.
Oh, that's right.
Watching my favorite film.
Behind us right here.
Franco Zeffirelli's 1968 Romeo and Juliet with Olivia Hussey.
Yeah.
Shit.
It's a good one.
It's a good fucking movie.
And Michael York is Tybalt, of course.
Yeah.
Famously, and... they're young. They're really young.
Very young.
As it should be. I mean, Romeo and Juliet is about like 15-year-olds, right? Not even.
Yeah. 14-year-olds.
Yeah.
I saw this on Reel to Reel for the first time.
What, did you get a time machine and go back to 1982?
Our middle school was poor, but they had like a whole stock room full of Reel to Reels.
No, yeah.
That's how we watched film, like Ray Bradbury, all that stuff.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So. I remember watching, there's this one weird, like, quasi-horror movie we watched in fifth grade, and it was on, like, film like that, with the projector screen, and pisses me off, because I always forget what it was, it's such a weird movie. So now I'm just, like, rambling here, I apologize. This is an awesome movie that I'm not going to tell anybody about, because I don't remember it, but, I remember that.
So it was outro out to something strong, I want you to... Go ahead and pick that last one.
Still
want to
go Fiona?
Hey, man, if it's Fiona, you can't go wrong with Fiona. Fiona's a beast.
That's true. Yeah, you can't go wrong with Fiona. Well, yeah, let's, you know what? Fuck it. Let's paper bag it. Well, live and unlive from San Francisco, California. This is Ignatius Palafox.
I'm with the Low Spark.
Signing out.
I was staring at the sky, just looking for a star to pray on or wish on or something like that. I was having a sweet fix of a daydream of a boy whose reality I knew was a hopeless to be had. But then the dove of hope began its downward slope, and I believed for a moment that my chances were approaching to be grand. But as it came down near, so did a weary tear. I thought it was a bird, but it was just a paper bag. Hunger hurts, and I want them so bad. Oh, it kills, cause I know I'm a messy. Don't wanna clean up, I got to focus. These hands are too shaky to hold. Hunger hurts, but starving works. When it costs too much to love, and I went crazy
love to fight. Come on, put a little love here in my boy. He said, it's all in your head. And I said, so's everything, but he didn't get it. I thought he was a man, but he was just a little boy. Hunger hurts, and I want him so bad. Oh, he kills, cause I know I'm a mess. He don't wanna clean up. I got to focus, these hands are too shaky to hold. Hunger hurts, but starving works when it goes. Too much to love, hunger hurts, but I want it so bad. Oh, it kills, cause I know I'm a mess that he don't wanna clean up. Oh, but I got to fold because these hands are just too shaky. I got to vote because